Well, Grassy Narrows First Nation launched a lawsuit earlier this month against the provincial and federal governments. Now, they're arguing that both failed to protect their treaty right to fish after mercury contaminated the English Wabagoon River system. But the story of Grassy Narrows and mercury poisoning starts decades back with Dryden Chemicals Limited. Between 1960 and 1972, the company dumped untreated mercury into the English Wabagoon River system. But even with no new mercury being released into the environment by industry since then, a new study has found that the water and the fish are still polluted. So why does this continue to be a problem? Well, Brian Branfirun is the Canada Research Chair in Environment and Sustainability at Western University. He published a study in May looking at wastewater being released from the Dryden paper mill into the river system. Judy Da Silva is an elder, community advocate, and a mercury survivor. They joined me in studio earlier.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Fresh Air. Now, Judy, I wonder if you could first tell us where you're from.
I'm from Grassy Narrows, Ontario. It's about 2,400 kilometers from here,
okay.
West.
West from here.
Yeah. It's a small community. It's 800 people that live there. And it's like, I guess you'd say like a small village with one store and one gas station and mostly women and children in the community, like the population. And we live in the what they call the boreal forest, the Precambrian shield, lots of lakes, lots of rivers, and lots of rock. I guess you'd have to say, like straight off the bat, we were a fishing community. We're hunters, trappers, and so that's our lineage.
Okay.
But today, 2024, a lot of our people live on welfare or they work at the van office or they work in a school, but mostly unemployed.
And the language, what is the first language in Grassy Narrows?
Our language is Anishinaabemowin.
And this is where you've lived your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, you've been following the story of mercury contamination for some time now. How did you first start looking into the impact of mercury on this part of Ontario?
I actually did research in Northwestern Ontario as a grad student. So way back in 1992, when I first started doing work, we were trying to understand how mercury that was just coming from the atmosphere, how that was affecting fish and affecting mercury in lakes and streams. And at that time, I was a young student, and I was aware of the situation in Grassy Narrows, but I really had no personal and deep knowledge of the impacts of industrial discharges. My mind was very much focused on the sky, to be sort of literal and figurative.
Right.
I was interested in what was happening everywhere because the mercury problem also affects people where there isn't a factory
right.
discharging. So that's how I started into it. And so I was actually in Northwestern Ontario in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And then I became more focused on working with Grassy Narrows in 2017 when some very good mentors of mine brought me in to continue the work that they were starting to do to try to figure out what was happening okay. in the river and why it wasn't recovering as quickly as it should.
Now, a lot of people, when they hear mercury and Grassy Narrows, their minds will go directly to the actual mercury that was dumped into the Wabagoon English River this was in the 60s and 70s, mm-hmm. right? But you released a scientific paper just recently that found mercury levels still high, some contamination really high. This is 50 years later. What did you find?
Wait, well, can yeah. I cut you off a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, please.
Just for like your listeners yeah. to understand, like the place that dumped the poison is like 200 kilometers upstream from Grassy Narrows, and it's on the English Wabagoon River system. And when you say 10 tons of mercury, like people can't visualize like how much is 10 tons. So what it actually, the way my brother said it is it's like you put 20 half ton trucks together, pile them on top of each other, and then you kind of get a visual of how much mercury was dumped.
Yeah.
So like that's massive. And what I keep hearing from other people is they keep saying disaster. Hmm. it's not a disaster. It was like they knew they're dumping the mercury into the river system. So I'm not going to excuse the mills, you know, like, oh, it was a disaster. Sorry about that. It was they knew, they knowingly dumped 10 tons of mercury into the river system.
And this was 50 years ago. So what did you find now?
The mercury that was dumped in the river in the 1960s is still there. And so that's still a substantial part of this problem. And that's still another area that people are focused on, because that mercury has to be removed. It has to be remediated. But what we found as part of work that we did in collaboration with Grassy Narrows was that there were things that are being discharged to the river today, okay, that are amplifying that problem. One of the sort of to go back in time a little bit, there was in the early 1980s, the government did nothing to take action to remediate this river because they felt that the levels were coming down in some sort of a reasonably predictable way. The only problem was that after they made that decision, they didn't come down anymore. Mm. They kind of stayed the same. Mm-hmm. And we think that part of the current discharges that are being released now are one of the reasons why the fish mercury hasn't come down as much as maybe we might have thought.
Okay. So just so people understand too, this is methylmercury that you're dealing with in the water now, right?
Yeah, and in fact, that's the form of mercury. That's the only form of mercury that gets in fish. It's the only form of mercury that stays in people.
Yeah.
You have to have the other forms of metallic mercury there in order to form that kind of mercury. But it's a complicated interaction in the environment it's like baking. You have to have, to make methylmercury, you have to have a bunch of different ingredients.
Okay, so can you kind of, like you're explaining it to a 10-year-old, explain what's happening there. The mercury's in the environment already.
The mercury's in the environment already, and in some places, in certain places in the sediments and in the river bottoms and in lakes, there are bacteria that interact with that mercury and form methylmercury as part of that interaction.
Okay.
They're not doing it on purpose. You know, they're not trying to make the environment toxic, but they are the kind of bacteria that breathe sulfate and they eat organic matter. So like we breathe oxygen, they breathe sulfate. And so when you give them those other things that they need to survive, then they can do the job of forming methylmercury better.
Yeah, I was going to just like bring you back in history before Brian mm-hmm. came along. And like I was like a daycare administrator, and then this Health Canada guy came to Grassy Narrows in 1997, and then that was the federal government, and they said there's no more mercury in the river system. But then I kept seeing these illnesses in the community.
What types of illnesses?
It's just like just seeing people, you know, having a hard time to walk, or like kidney disease okay. in many young women. And so this guy from Federal Canada came to the clinic, and there's only four of us in the clinic. And the nurse practitioner there asked him, when he said there's no more mercury in the river system, she said, well, how come you're still warning people in the Ministry of Environment fishing guide to only eat so much fish? And if she hadn't asked that question, I would have kept on living, like thinking that mercury was gone.
That must have been so frustrating and disheartening at the same time, that you're seeing this impact on your community. Mm-hmm. You're seeing people having trouble walking, people with kidney issues, mm-hmm. and you're being told there's no mercury in the water. Mm-hmm. Still, have you yourself been affected by the methylmercury or the mercury that's there?
Yeah, I have. I'm on mercury disability. I have mercury poisoning, and I am deteriorating. So, like, I feel it in my whole body, like how it affects me. But it just like, I guess to bottom line it, like it's always the Anishinaabeg are saying we see these problems, and then science comes along, and that's what, you know, people will hear and listen, is that, you know, if Brian hadn't found that, you know, life would have kept going. And I want to point out like a really, really important thing is that the mill is still in full operation, and they're still dumping tons of chemicals. And then the kids, like in Grassy, they have, like today, I see a lot of kids with skin issues, okay. You know, like eczema. But it's not just eczema. It's like infected in eczema. Mm-hmm. And the doctors can't figure out, well, we're going to use hydrocortisone, and it's not working. So that's kind of like what we have to face mm-hmm. every day.
So this is what's coming from bacteria that exists in the water already, and mercury that's already in the water, and sulfates are coming from the mill into the water, and that's the combination.
And that's just one part. That's one part of the story. There are other known and measured contaminants associated with mill discharge, and those have different effects, and those may or may not have an interaction with mercury. But I mean, our interest here was really to look at that interaction with the mercury that was already there, because the goal here is always to try to solve the problem, right? Is to reduce the mercury levels in fish so people can eat the fish that is their treaty right to be able to consume.
And is there a way to solve this problem with a mill still there?
Shut it down.
As a scientist, I'm not a politician, and it's not my place to speak for anybody else, but I think that the key thing that we found was that if you add the things that are coming from the mill, it makes the mercury problem about 200 to 300% worse. So the corollary would be if you stop adding it, then you would make it 200 or 300% less.
Okay.
And I think that's the message, and that's the simple message that we want to try to convey. And I think it's also important. I mean, one of the things that Judy said was that the community has always said that not only, of course, the mercury has poisoned the community and still continues to do so, but when we first talked about these findings that we found from the mill, our basic science actually told us this is what we would probably find. Mm-hmm. But when we found that it was even worse, the very first thing that Judy said was the community has been saying that the mill is continuing to poison the river, and has been doing so for decades. So, I'm not sitting here suggesting that I've actually drawn a new conclusion that nobody else had thought of.
Right.
I just did an experiment with my students in the lab to just prove the point.
Judy, up until now, in the years that you have been in this community, What has the government, provincial or federal levels, done to remedy this? What have they done to help in any way?
In terms of the mill and the poison that's being like dropped into the river system, I don't think they've done anything. The company's still in full operation, so they're getting their licenses, their registrations, or whatever they need to continue to be in full operation. So for me, it's a total disregard of human life.
I do know that there's a lawsuit. Your First Nation has sued the federal and the provincial governments. What do you hope comes of that, and what do you hope for the future?
Well, I'm hoping one of the things is like the government is going to take us seriously. If we do win, it's not going to solve us being poisoned, but at least it'll be like a sigh of relief and say, finally, people are listening to us. And I know it's a small thing, but for us, it's big.
And are you hoping for any compensation for the community out of this?
Yeah, we're hoping for compensation. And I don't know, like we haven't put any dollar amount. The chief and council hasn't put a dollar amount on it yet with the lawyers. Mm. But it's just like it's going to take many, many years to get to that point, I think. Get the dollar amount. Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate both of you coming in here and having this conversation with me. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Judy Da Silva is an elder from Grassy Narrows. Brian Branthurun is a professor at Western University's Department of Biology. We reached out to the province and the federal governments, both of them, for response. Canada's Indigenous Minister, Patty Haidu, and Environment Minister, Stephen Guilbeault, sent a written statement. It reads, in part, everyone deserves to live in a healthy and safe environment, including Indigenous peoples whose communities are too often located downwind, downstream, and next to polluting industrial facilities. The Government of Canada will fully fund a mercury care home, and we have now announced $146 million for its construction and operation. We are supporting bills like the First Nations Clean Water Act and the Environmental Justice Act so that situations like this do not happen again. Water pollution is a serious issue, and the government of Ontario has an important role to play in addressing it as well. When asked specifically about the sulfates still being released into the English Wabagoon River system, the province sent a written statement that reads, in part, "Ministry technical and scientific experts are reviewing the interim report received May 15th. The results will be shared with the English and Wabagoon Rivers Remediation Panel and Dryden Fiber. Additional assessment work is being undertaken to obtain a complete understanding of the extent and location of contamination in the river system. The federal and provincial governments would not comment on the legal case because it is before the courts." Now, we reached out to the First Quality Enterprises. That's the company that currently owns the Dryden Paper Mill. We have yet to receive a response from them.